1 John chapter 4 is where we left off last week as we started a message on perfect love. If you have need of a Bible, raise your hand good and high so we can hand one to you so you can follow along with us. 1 John chapter 4, we left off in verse 11. We'll pick up in verse 12. We will make one stop at Exodus 33. So if you want to bookmark your Bibles there, it does say that. That's good. Christmas shopping's all done, right? Yeah. All the girls, yep. All the guys, whoop, nope. Amazon.com. Smile.amazon.com. That's right. It's hard to believe it's almost here. It really is. 1 John chapter 4, Bible's open. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, we never want to take Your word for granted. Though it's always there for us and always available to us, God, we never want to approach it with ungrateful hearts. So, Lord, for that reason we've come, anticipating You to speak to us through Your word. And as we hear from the Apostle John, and as we've been hearing, for we know this apostle's heart is to encourage the church to love each other, to love God, to love the world. And so we pray, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would not just hear these things, that we would not just understand these things, but we would literally do these things, live these things, love each other, and love a world that's out there, God, that apart from You will be eternally separated from Your love. So for those who have experienced unconditional love through Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, fill us with Your love that we too will be loving. We give You all the glory and all the praise. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been talking about perfect love, that love that really can only come from heaven. And we talked last week about the origin of that love. We needed to recognize where that love came from. And in verses 7 through 11, basically, John told us that that love is from God because God Himself is love. God is equal to love. And for that reason, we want to remind ourselves that if we feel ourselves in a place in our life where we don't feel loved or don't feel like we want to love others, we must realize and recognize initially that source for that love is God. And when we need that love, we need to spend time with God. We need to think about God. Think of the things that He's done for us. I think it was just this morning, I was talking with some people here at the church, and we were talking about why is it that certain stories in the Bible that the believers forgot what God had done, that they had forgot that He parted the Red Sea, that He had forgotten that the baby was born and there was a star and there were kings and there was frankincense and myrrh and all these gifts. Why did they forget? My answer, they're as human as we are. We forget. Truly, if we knew and embraced the absolute unconditional love of God all the time, we wouldn't be discouraged. We wouldn't be down. We wouldn't be angry. We wouldn't get frustrated because what? The love of God takes care of it. And that's what we'll see as we continue to go through this last part of 1 John chapter 4, that source of love is God Himself. Spending that time with Him, spending time with other believers that love God, right? There's nothing more contagious than to get around a believer who loves Jesus, who just oozes Jesus, who just, everything they say is about Jesus and everything they talk about is about God and His Word. And it's just, oh, it's a good feeling. And that source can come to us. So we saw that the origin is God, verses 7 through 11. But today we're going to look at the next thing because we have an obligation. Not only is there an origin for love, but we have an obligation as believers to what? To represent God and represent His love. You ever feel like you represent God wrongly? You ever feel like you misrepresent the love of God? Boy, as a pastor, I'm very careful. Like, God, I'm representing You. I want to be that person that shows people grace and shows people Your love and is honoring of Your word. so that I don't bring your name down. And so we must, as believers, realize we have an obligation to show the world around us the Lord, God himself. So look with me at verse 12. Actually, you know what? Let's back up to verse 7 so that we get the context. From verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4, we say, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Real quick pause here. From last week's message, we learned that we are to love others. I wonder if you had an opportunity this week to love one another. I wonder if you truly took that message and said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure I go out and I love others. And so I encourage you, as we go through today's message, to be in that mindset that the origin of love is from heaven and we have to have that ability to love others. And we talked about it last week. It's easy to love those who love us. But what about loving those that need the love of God? That's what we need to realize this morning. Verse 12, we'll continue. John says, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." I love the way the Apostle John talks. But interestingly enough, in verse 12, he inserts this sentence that at first read really made me begin to scratch my head. Because John's talking about love. God is love. God is of love. And we're to love others. And then in verse 12, he says, "No one has seen God at any time." Does it seem like to you that's a little bit out of place? Right? We're talking about love, we're talking about God, everything's good, and Jesus has come, and he's taken away our sins, and that's how God has displayed his love for us, and no one's seen God at any time. What? Here's the thing that John is trying to drive home. God is invisible, is he not? No one has actually physically ever laid their eyes on God. But John tells us, love him. Sometimes in my life, maybe in yours, it's tough to love God who you can't see, right? Are you there, Lord? Are you going to be there in my time of need? Am I praying to a God that's moving on my behalf? I have never seen him. I've never beheld my eyes upon him. And what John is saying is, you have never seen God in the physical, but through my people, you've seen me. Through my believers, we get to represent the Lord. Look what he says in verse 12 again. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us." You see what he's saying? He's saying if you love another, excuse me, if you love somebody else, that is your opportunity to show them the Lord, to show them God. Because let's admit it, love isn't easy to do. And love is not a feeling. Amen? It's not something that you always feel like doing. If you do, God bless you, and teach a class. It's not natural. It's like, okay, everything's going good. We're in love. Guys, am I talking? I mean, husbands in here, right? Things are going good in your relationship, and then one day your wife goes, boom, what happened? I didn't mean she hit you. I didn't mean that. It's just like, what happened? You're not happy. What happened? What's going on? I thought everything was good. No. We got to pay attention to the signs. And John very wisely says, no one's ever seen God, but you're the body of Christ. And if you're the body of Christ, guys, this is a huge privilege that we have. You get to bring God to someone else. It's an amazing, I put it as obligation. It's not an option. You've heard me talk about sourpuss Christians. It's not right. Don't represent God with this face. Like, ugh. If God is love, and if he's the source of love, we should be loving. We should be caring. We should be gracious. We should represent God rightly. And that's what John's saying. We have the opportunity to show others God. Listen to me. The invisible God, God in heaven, the Father, no one's ever seen him. But when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, Jesus represented the Father, did he not? In fact, look at this verse. It's in John's Gospel, the 18th verse. It says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is of the bosom of the in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus came to show the world God in the flesh. When you know, what's that Mary, Did You Know song that we sing? We're going to be singing at our Christmas play. Love that song. Mary, Did You Know? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Whew. So when we behold Christ, and when we think of Jesus, and we think of what he's done upon the cross for us and for our sins, we are looking at the Father. And we'll see that a little bit more in a minute. But to realize that Christ came as the person of God representing the Lord. And we as believers who have the Holy Spirit also represent God. Keep your place in 1 John. Let's quickly go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Moses has an amazing encounter with God himself. And I want you to look at verse 12 of Exodus 33. And I want you to also, as we're reading this, don't miss the boldness of Moses. As believers, I believe we must be bold before the Lord. Amen. Bold. Ask beyond what you think you deserve, because you deserve nothing. As a side note, before we get into this, as an update, well, we've been praying, many of you have been praying for our little dog, Ellie, who actually, for last Friday night, we actually put in the hospital. She almost died. But God healed her, okay? God raised this dog from the dead, literally. We found out that Walgreens misfilled a prescription, and we were actually overdosing our dog for 10 days. And let me tell you, I pray for you guys a lot, but I prayed for this dog even more. It was almost like, Lord, I know you can. Every waking moment, Lord, please just bless this, because I know how much my wife loves this dog, how much this dog means, and God healed this dog. But it was one of those things that taught me, ask for the impossible. And don't look at someone else's life as being blessed or their prayers as being answered as a negative outlook for you, because maybe you don't feel like yours are. Ask God. Ask God with boldness to change your situation. And that boldness that Moses has is what I want us to see. Look at verse 12, Exodus 33. It says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, this is Moses, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, God, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to God, or him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? Except you go with us. See, we shall be separate, your people and I, from all people who are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. God bless you. And he said, please, show me your glory. Please highlight that. Moses says to God, please, show me your glory. I wonder, would that be your prayer this morning? God, show me your glory. Show me your presence. Show me your power. That's the boldness that Moses had before God. He just asked God to be with him, and if you go with us, then we'll go with you, and if you show me the way, I'll follow you. And he said, please show me your glory. Look at verse 19. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. What an amazing picture. And you probably have heard this story and probably have read this scripture, and what an amazing thing that Moses boldly says, I want to see your glory. Show it to me, God. I don't know what it was in Moses' heart or in Moses' life where he said, I just need to see it. I just need to have that assurance that you have the ability to do it. And God, in his graciousness, says, Moses, I'm going to answer your prayer. Not completely the way you want, but I'm going to stick you in a rock. I'm going to pass by. And when I remove my hand, you're going to see the back of me. You're going to see the backside of me. You're going to see my glory pass by. I want to just share with a couple things that I see in this picture. Number one, the afterglow of God's glory was enough for Moses. You hear me? The after effect of God and all his glory as it passed by, it was enough for Moses to get a glimpse of the glory of God. And what I'm saying is, a little bit of God's glory is enough for all of us. When's the last time you've had the presence of God so strong in your life that it was enough for you to endure hardship? When was the last time you said, God, show me your power? God, show me your glory. God, just pass by me. Look back in your life and see where God has been and realize there's an afterglow of his presence. There's an afterglow of his glory. It is those times that you will remember when you get into trouble in the future. Can you imagine Moses having this testimony? I saw God's glory. I witnessed God's glory. God pushed me into a rock. He passed by, and then he let me see his glory pass by. Do you think that was enough for Moses to continue along the path that God had for him? Do you think? This is what we need in the church today. This is what we need in believers' lives today. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're down, if you're feeling distant from God. I don't know what it is you're doing. I don't know if you're in a close, you love your relationship with God. No matter how high you get with God, there's always higher to go. And I would ask you boldly to come before God and say, show me your glory. Because I believe if he will show us his glory, show us his power, answer our prayers, give us those answers that we need when we need them, listen, we will definitely show the world who he is, right? I've been touched by the glory of God. Therefore, my countenance displays the beauty of the Lord. What has God done in your life that you've forgotten? There was no doubt later in Moses' life, he did make some mistakes. Why? He purposely forgot that he saw the glory of God. He purposely forgot that I boldly asked God to show me his presence, and he did. Why is it we are surprised when God answers our prayers? Have you ever noticed that? When I send a text, God answered our prayers. Everybody says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, hallelujah. And we should expect that. Yes, he doesn't answer them when we want them, how we want them, but when he answers them, we give him the glory. And that's when his presence is there. That's when his glory is there. I love that last song that we sang. It was absolutely what this is talking about. Lord, that your presence would be in this place. So I encourage you, now, today, tomorrow, soon, pray for the presence of God in your life. Pray verse 18, please show me your glory. Because I would imagine God's glory compared to your trial right now is a lot better. If you could focus on the glory of God, the bills might still need to be paid. The rent's still going to be due. But when you're focusing on the glory of God And when you realize that just having his presence in your life is good enough, it helps you endure those things. It helps you get through and see the work of God. See, we have an obligation, brothers and sisters, to show others the Lord. What is God doing in your life? And he's doing, realize this, he's doing things in your life in a powerful way so that you'll tell somebody else about it. Do you tell others when God does something good in your life? Do you share that with others? I mean, isn't it great to have somebody say, you're not going to believe what God did. It's amazing. And you're like, what is it? Seeing God's afterglow is something we should long for. Just a little bit of his glory is enough. Just a little bit of his glory. So I ask you, when God's presence is close to you, do you have a greater sense of peace? I would imagine you would. When God's glory is there, do you find yourself with a greater sense of joy? I mean, we're at Christmas time. Everything's joyful, right? Are we? Or are we putting on the face, right? Who in this room has said to their friends, can't wait till Christmas is over? I got one. Two. Why? Why? It's a stressful time of season. And it reminds us, there brings hurts. But listen, the glory of God, the joy of the presence of God can be with us all year long, not just at Christmas time. So we need to find that joy. The presence of God gives you greater strength to get through trials. It helps deliver you from addictions. Get addicted to the glory of God, amen? To the glory of presence of God in your life. That's what we want, Lord. Maybe your marriage or relationship has been restored or been strengthened by the presence of God. That's a living testimony. And I don't often call people out, but Jay and Leslie, you're a great testimony of the glory of God in your life. Keeping your focus upon him. And look what God has done. Baby number three coming. It's amazing what the Lord can do. If you'll let him. We got to let him. But we have that, again, the origin is God. We got to find that source of love. The obligation is he's in us. He's in there. The Holy Spirit's in you, right? The Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's a powerful spirit that we have. And we have an obligation to show others the Lord. You can write this down. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. It's Philip. When Jesus says, you're going to see God. And Philip's like, wait a minute. Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Show us the Father that Philip is saying to Jesus. And Jesus turns to Philip and says, Philip, have I been with you for so long that you don't realize if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Seeing Jesus shows us the Heavenly Father. Jesus represents the Lord. Jesus represents the Heavenly Father. And if God is in you, verse 16, if we go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, we have known and believed that love, the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. God's in you. Therefore, that source of love is in your heart. Be available. Be available to show that love to another. It was just this week I was at a restaurant in Brentwood, meeting with someone, and we were talking about God, and we were talking about the Bible, and we were talking about Christianity and that type of stuff, and the waitress, I've never had this happen to me, the waitress literally pulls a chair up to our table, says, could I ask you all a question, sets her chair, and sits down, and I'm like, how often do you get this kind of opportunity, can I ask you a question, yes, you can, she goes, I've been listening to your conversation, and I just have a question, what's your question, she turns to us, and she says, how do you know the difference between God's will and your own will? And I looked at her and I said, that's a very good question. But here's the thing. We had the next few minutes to be able to speak into this young person. I think she was like 23 years old, 24, somewhere there. And she's thinking about maybe going onto the mission field. And she just doesn't know if it's her will or if it's God's will. And we got an opportunity to minister, and it was such a blessing to my heart to be able to say to her, listen. The difference between God's will and your will is usually timing. Your will you want now, God's will he'll wait for. So if you want to know what God's will is, be patient and be listening for the signs that God will confirm his will in your life. And it was such a blessing to be able to admit, and you could just see this young child just going, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I thank God I wasn't like, hey, we're in a private conversation. We don't have time for you, right? It's like, you're all going, Pastor Rob. No, it was a great opportunity. But it's easy for us to miss those opportunities. And I wonder how many people in your life are listening to what you're saying or watching how you live, and they have that question. I can't believe I'm going to say, but maybe there's that sourpuss that says, I'm not going to ask them though. Or is it such? Is your countenance such that, come to me, ask me the question. It was such a blessing. We have an obligation to speak truth. Now, for some people, you're like, I don't know the answer. And honestly, who can know the answer to something like that definitively? But to be able to minister to her and be able to say, listen, you just keep moving. You just keep walking and God will direct your path. Was a blessing. Watch for those opportunities. You have an obligation, Christian. There's coworkers watching you, paying attention to your life. Show the love of God by how you live. Show the glory of God to others because you're spending time in his presence. The last thing, not only is we need to recognize the origin of love, which is God, we recognize the obligation of love, which reveals God, but the last one, we need to recognize the outcome of his love in our life. Look at verse 17 with me. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Look at that. What a powerful verse. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. The final thing is the outcome. The byproduct, if you will, of experiencing God's love, living God's love, and showing God's love. And we see that in verse 17. Love has been perfected in us, and that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. John kind of jumps all the way to the day when we all stand before God at the judgment. And we stand there before God, and John says, listen, if you've been living a life of love, if you've been experiencing the love of God, showing the love of God, as that obligation that you have as a believer, you're going to be able to stand before God and go, no problem. Because God, I allowed your love to flow through me. Do you see that? It's not your love that you manufacture and be effective. It's letting his love flow through you. We all want to be loved. We all want God to love us, and we all want to be well-pleased in God's sight. And so we should live our lives in such a way where we go, I'm confident that if I went to the Lord today, I'd have no torment. I'm confident because of what Christ has done and because I'm living the life that he wants me to live. Does it mean I always live right? No. But I'm confident in the fact that when I mess up, God's grace is there for me. God's love is there for me. His arm is never too short to pull me out of any pit and place me back upon the rock. So allowing that love to flow, touch my life, but then move through me, and then the outcome is I can stand before God with confidence, in boldness. Are you confident in your walk with the Lord today? Are you assured that you're in the place that God has you, knowing he's always wanting to take you more into a deeper relationship? I'm not saying that, but are you seated in the palm of his hand and he's directing your life, guiding you? Are you confident in that, or do you feel like, nah, I'm kind of off the path? I'm kind of running through the ditches. God's kind of got me in the woods. Or you've got yourself in the woods, I should say. God's trying to get you back on the path. See, we have an opportunity, my friends, to receive his love, to show his love, and then to be confident with it. God takes care of all the other stuff. If we just have that confidence. Otherwise, he says, where there's fear, there's torment. Right? If you're unsure, that's the worst place you can be as a believer, right? Am I saved today? Aren't you glad you don't have to get saved every single day? Praise God, it's a done work. We need to be reminded of it from time to time. We need to stay on track with it. But the outcome is that we get to a place in our walk where we're confident in what God can do because we're paying attention to the signs. You know, again, I was having that conversation this morning. How could they forget what God has done? They're as human as you and I were, and we forget what God has done too because we want God to show up today. We got God to show up right now. And honestly, he's here, isn't he? He's with you. If you'll just take a moment to say, I sense your presence. I need your peace. Let your peace come over me. Every Sunday, I pray that God would fill me with his Holy Spirit. And when I pray that, I don't have to go, I wonder if he did. Because his word tells me, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to him who asks? And it's not, give me the Holy Spirit so I'm a really cool pastor. It's give me the Holy Spirit so that your word will go out and touch the lives of your people. It's a heart issue. He's not going to give you things because you're a selfish Christian. He's going to give you things because it's going to further his kingdom. It's going to further his love, and it's going to further what he has desired to go through your life. Are you sitting here this morning confident in your relationship? Confident that you will be in heaven when that day comes, whether you're raptured or the Lord takes you off this earth? Is there that confidence there? Because that's what John is saying. And there is no fear in love, verse 18. But perfect love casts out fear. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's about three or four words in here, the word perfect. And that means completed. That means mature. It's a love that's confident. And it's saying here, perfect love, mature love, confident love casts out fear. What is fear? Fear is a lack of faith. Fear is listening to the lies of the enemy. When the enemy whispers there, you're not a very good Christian. You cussed yesterday. You're not a good Christian. You had a bad thought yesterday. And now you begin to get fearful. But then perfect love, completed love that was completed upon the cross, reminds us he paid the price for that sin. And we can tell the enemy, get out of here. Stop speaking this lie to me. I'm a child of God. Yes, there may be some repentance. Yes, there may be some confession. Yes, there may be some cleansing and getting closer to the Lord, but his love is there for you all the time. See, that's the outcome of his perfect love. Cast out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in him. Look at verse 19. But we love him because he first loved us. If you want to, some translations take the word him out, that third word. In other words, this verse could say, we love because he first loved us. I love that, which both ways is correct. But the only reason we love at all is because of his love for us. And if you can try to comprehend how much he loves you, even a little bit, it'll be enough. It's unfathomable how much God loves you. Do you realize that? Right? It's uncomprehensible how much God loves you. The Bible says there's nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing. But what do we allow? What do we allow? We allow the enemy to kind of steal that joy, to kind of steal that confidence in us. Please, have confidence in what Christ has done, and then walk worthy of the cross. Every day, pick up your cross, follow him. Look for opportunities to love on people. Don't go through life with blinders on. Don't go through life trying to get what you want. Take those blinders off and look around to see whose life you can touch. It's amazing to me. When we take the time to look around, you'll see someone that just doesn't have that same look that they normally have. You'll see someone that just isn't acting right. And I find more 9 times out of 10, if I say to someone, are you okay? And they go, yeah, I'm fine. The second time I go, are you sure? That's usually when they go, no. You've got to be persistent. You've got to go that extra mile and make sure people are okay. Why do we do that in the church? Why do we play the game? I'm okay. I'm good. My marriage is good. My kids are good. My job is good. When it's not, why do we lie to each other? Talk about lie. Don't lie. Be truthful. Be honest. I talked about that sometime months ago about not telling a lie. If someone asks you how you're doing and you're doing crummy, tell them you're doing crummy. And then stand back because their face is going, what? They don't expect that response. If you're doing crummy, tell somebody. Tell somebody who is in love with Christ because they'll help you. They'll walk with you. Notice it says at the verse end of verse, where is that? Okay, at the verse end of verse 17, it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. How is Christ right now? Right now, Jesus is seated at the right hand, the throne, a place of authority. And what John is saying, as he is in that place of authority, so are we in this world. I wonder, do we take that authority? Do we take that confidence that we have that Christ, what Christ has done for us, and use that and utilize that in our lives today? I would ask you to think about what is your greatest need today, maybe greatest couple needs today in your life, and take authority and say, Lord, show me how you're going to meet those needs. Show me how you're going to let your glory fall upon me and show me, reveal to me how we're going to get through this. Don't do it on your own. Get God's help in your life and get others to come alongside you. It's our responsibility. The last two verses. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And look at verse 21. And this, what does that say? Commandment. Wow. We're commanded to love each other. He says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Notice the word must. You should, you must love your brother. We must love each other. Love doesn't mean always accepting, does it? Loving someone else doesn't always mean accepting. I talked, I think it was last week, about forgiveness. I just want to clarify something my wife helped me realize. Forgiveness, forgiving someone of a wrong they've done in their life, does not mean you have to have a relationship with them. I just want to make myself clear. When I talk about forgiveness, you forgive someone else for you. Okay, for your heart, for your mind, for your life. You forgive them. Doesn't mean you say what you did was right or anything. But it doesn't. You forgive them to release you. And if you have a relationship, that's a secondary issue. So forgive people, love people, because we must love our brothers. I hear it all the time. Well, you're a brother in Christ. I must love you. Well, you seem really motivated to do that, don't you? Do you know how amazing it would be if we really did go out of our way to love each other? If we really did go out of our way to say, what can I do for that person to show them I love them? You know, especially in marriages, we do this. It's like, well, I'm not loving her because she doesn't do anything for me. Well, God tells you to love her no matter what. And if we would do everything in our power to love each other, guess what's going to happen? People are going to love us too. So I encourage you today. Realize the source. Realize the place that love comes from, the origin. Recognize your obligation to show other people God's love and his glory. And then recognize the outcome. Brings us to a place where we're confident, where you're in that place, Lord, I just love my life. I love being able to serve you. I love being able to walk with you. I love being able to be used by you. I would love to hear from you an opportunity where you're at a restaurant and someone says, hey, I just heard what you were talking about. Can I ask you a question? And you go, yes, ask me a question. Be used by God. That's perfect love. His perfect love. Love that is perfected through us, mature. Let's pray that we live that way this week, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the great reminder that love is not really a choice. We're commanded to love each other. It's easy to love you, Lord, because you've shown us how much you love us. It's easy to love you because we know that you'll never do anything to harm us or to hurt us. And that's where loving others can become difficult, because we're afraid we're going to get hurt. But Lord, I would pray this morning for myself and for all of us that we would not be afraid to love someone, to care for them, to show them how much they mean to us, and guard our hearts, Lord, against being hurt. But let us be confident in doing the thing that you've told us to do and be okay with that. For I believe with all of my heart that if your love flows through us and touches the lives of others, they'll be eternally changed. God, we pray, just like Moses prayed, that we would see your glory, not just at Christmas time, not just at the holidays, but every moment of every day. Show us your glory. Let it change us. Let it transform us into beings that can't help ourselves, but reach out to a hurting world. To you be the glory, and to you be the honor in all these things. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.